Welcome to Color Story, the podcast that explores the transformative and magical power of colors in people's lives. I'm your host, Claire Lacey, and I'm excited to bring you engaging and colorful conversations with guests who have harnessed the beauty of color in their own unique ways. Together, we'll dive deep into the emotions, memories, and experiences that colors evoke in our hearts and minds. Join me as we journey through the vibrant spectrum of colors and discover how they can connect us to our true selves, heal our souls, and empower us to unleash our creativity. So take a deep breath and get ready to be whisked away on a colorful journey of inspiration and creativity. No need to be an expert artist. Just bring an open mind and let's see what we can create together.
Is a Tennessee girl by birth and always in heart, who has been blessed to live in many areas of the U.S. and the U.K. She loves to share her passion for creating textiles, in particular, painting on silk, encouraging people of all ages to bring art into their lives through community art endeavors is her way of building relationships and bringing people together. Welcome to Color Story. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Thanks. Well, I have a question for you. What is your color story? And tell me about a time in your life when color impacted you.
Well, I've always loved color, but I don't think I realized how much it affected my emotions. And in particular, if I'm wearing it, you know, I'm always a visual person. I love to see color, love to be surrounded by it. There was a time, and this was only about 25 years ago, so I wasn't exactly 8 years old,
but we have
a big family. So my husband and I had 4 sons, and through his career, we've moved many times, like 15 times. There was a time we were at that point living in Tennessee. My husband had to take the next job relocation, and we were headed to England. So I was not brought up moving or traveling to international places. It's one thing to move U.S. oriented, coast to coast, north, south, east, and west.
Sure.
We've done that. And yet the step of moving to England absolutely was uncharted waters and unknown panic ahead. So I thought, yep, I can do this. And thankfully, we were with a corporation that offered us some assistance in moving. And I'm like, that's fine. I'll get the boys to school. I was trying to finish a new job for me and sign out that. And my husband had to move ahead of us. And I'm like, well, that's fine. I can finish the school year and, you know, we can put the house on the market and then the movers will do the rest like they always do. Sure. Well, that is not what was happening. To the point that this was in April, we got the information that we would be moving the 1st of July. And it was a very busy time, as end of school years are for kids and, you know, organizations and stuff. So when they told me that some of the things I needed to prepare for were doing an inventory of our household goods. Now, again, good size house, 6 of us in the house, and the household goods included anything that we would be taking with us to England, 1. 2, anything we would be storing in the U.S. with the intent to come back after a few years. It turned out to be more than that, but it's like, make that decision. What are you taking? What are you leaving? All right, that's a big deal. But when they say put a value and count every single item in both categories. So they give you a clipboard and, you know, it's ruled and lined and, you know, charted. And it's like, literally, how many pair of socks do you have in the house that you are taking to England?
Right.
How many lamps? How many spoons? How many pots? How many shoes? How many everything? And by the way, if the container that your clothing or your goods goes down in the North Sea or in the Atlantic on the way over to England, we need to know what the value of those things are. And or if the storage unit that you leave your stuff in the U.S. gets torched, we need to know the value of those items. So now you're not only counting everything and writing it on a little line, you're actually assessing a value to it. Well, I laughed and I said, you've got to be joking. I am not going to do this. I can't do this. I won't do this. And then they're like, well, we're not joking. So you quickly eat your words and you say, right, I guess I'll have to. And between April and when we did move in July, I did do everything required to do that. Finish the job, sell the house, sell 3 vehicles, get 4 boys through school and lots of, I think there were 8 baseball teams that summer from all of them. And I did 2 things. The one is, I don't know why, but I cut my hair. Every week I would go out and have a little more haircut, just a little shorter, a little shorter. But the color thing absolutely blew me away because I'm normally a very colorful dresser. And it's in the South, you know, we're in Tennessee and it's hot and all that. So I would realize every day I'd go into my closet is, you know, ideally if my closet's organized, I have the reds together, the oranges together, the yellows together, the blues together, and you're going to go in and choose something, right? So I would go in every day and I put this thing right behind me. So if I get close and here's my colorful wardrobe and I would start on this end as if I didn't even touch it. I would get like, I don't know, inches away as if I'm getting ready to grab you. And then I'd go, I can't. Almost having a panic attack or an anxiety attack over this. Not because I didn't like outfit or the shirt. But I'm like, I just can't handle that today. And I would move further and further down my closet rail. So when you start in April, it's spring in Tennessee and you're, you know, looking for color and matching the flowers. By the time I got to July, I couldn't tolerate even pastels. I would gravitate towards the most neutral, the most white, the most bland with no pattern, no color. And I could wear that and handle the anxiety that was to come of the day. And by the time we got to England, I mean, I have photos of, you know, of us moving during that time. I had hair that was up here kind of a thing.
But, like a pixie cut.
But then my clothing, after I got to England, and then, you know, there's a few weeks where you're living out of your suitcase until your clothing arrives. So during those 5 weeks, I continued to wear the neutral clothing. There's a tremendous amount of cultural readjustments. And although it's an English-speaking country and they're, you know, civilized and they're all that, which that's great, but you've got a family to readjust. You're not just there playing tourist. And so the burden of all that, again, giving me anxiety every day. And I'm like, what can I control? And I think as I look back on it, I could control the color I wore. Mm-hmm. And I didn't even wear lipstick, which I always wear lipstick. But trying to keep neutrals as the thing I could control without the color I think it's an energy. I really do feel color is an energy. And I had just so much going on that as I look back on that, and that's, you know, 25 years ago now, I still know there are days in my life now where if I feel unsettled and whatever, and I'm just needing, you know,
a chill pill,
I could not put on anything super, super colorful because it just adds that extra layer of fuel to my fire. So
interesting. And so like,
eventually I added some color back and now I love color. And you know, it was a lesson to myself. I've never seen that written anywhere, but I will tell you, I feel like there is an energy in color.
I believe that. I think each color has its own unique wavelength of energy. And so if you're putting that on your body, you're bound to react in some way, especially if you're already heightened. And maybe the colors you were reaching that you normally liked were not what you could handle. And so
And when you said the color of each energy, I feel it's the concentration of color as well. Mm-hmm. Because again, I could handle very vibrant colors prior to this upheaval. And I could even handle pastel colors as we started, the journey into selling this and, you know, just closing down the U.S. life. But by the end of anxiety, full tilt, it was like, I can't even handle it. The color in a pastel was too much.
Yeah.
So it, it was a lesson to myself. And I feel like even to this day, if I'm working on something and I feel like I don't have enough going on, you know, and I know I've already had enough coffee or tea or whatever it is, I'll go get something with some vibrancy to the color out of my closet. I literally will change shirts because it's that important to me that I feel the color on me. And, you know, it's like I need somehow some way to bring that energy in, and touching my skin or lipstick or all those things kind of help me as a way to boost my natural, whatever's going on, and, you know, go back into the closet with, it doesn't matter if it's even out of season, if it's the right color, it'll do for today.
Probably right. A little strange. Yeah. I think you can break some of those fashion rules that someone started. So it doesn't matter what color you're wearing based on season. It's based on what mood you want to have or what spark you need.
Yeah. And like I said, even giving myself permission during the day, it's okay to change clothes, not for a fashion sense, but for what I need, what's going on inside myself. Yeah. Makes a difference.
And do you notice it matters? Like what, I guess, would changing your socks color be enough for you, or would it need to be a larger surface area?
The socks is, that's a funny thing. Cause, I do have some fun socks and sometimes I just choose to wear them because they have the fun thing going on. I don't think that's enough. I think it has to be, for me, it's an upper body. Cause I just feel it's heart driven. It's here, right here. And oddly enough, if I want a nap, and it's like, I choose my blanket according to the color.
Yeah. What else is there?
That makes perfect sense to you, but I'm not sure the rest of the world would understand it. It's like, okay, is this too bold of a color? And then if I get a blanket that has like a lining, you know, one side is like solid and the other's vibrant, I know which side I need for whatever day.
I think that's such a good way to approach, I think, wellness for self.
Yeah, it is a way. I do think it's a way of, I don't want to say medicating yourself. It's a way of being attuned to your inner, maybe it's blood pressure. I have no idea what's going on in there. But there is truly a connection for me. And I first was a little shy about telling if people would have asked because it sounds kind of neurotic, but makes me tick.
I think, again, I'm the wrong person to think that's strange. but I agree with that so much. I think our body knows more than we realize. Yeah, and the color you're wearing.
What you're drawn to, what you feel like is soothing and not just going according to what works for someone else.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Well, I have another question for you. Having spent time in the UK for a number of years, what was the experience with color in that culture? Is it more vibrant, more neutrals? Are people afraid of it? Do they embrace it more?
They could tell I was American when I walked down the street.
Really?
Oh, in every way. But mostly it was my clothing.
Okay.
And it's the colors that, just as we know, like, let's just say Jamaica. It's a mindset in my mind that Jamaicans wear more vibrant color than Americans do as a whole. I'm just making a generality. I think it's the intensity of the sun, because we've lived, like I said, coast to coast within the U.S. So even if you were up in, I'm in Wisconsin right now, and it's super bland outside, and there's white everywhere because we got tons of snow. And on these gray, gloomy days in Wisconsin, it it's the same intensity in the winter as where we lived in England, because we're on the same latitude. And yet, for the most part, we get brighter skies here. In England, the gone gray term, oh, it's kind of gone gray today. You know, that gloomy, that hazy, it's not a clear, vibrant color.
Okay.
And so I feel like they match a lot of their clothing to that scenario of new, more muted colors, more safe, calmer colors.
Interesting.
Now, maybe that's just within the circle of people that we lived with, but we lived in two different locations. We lived in a market town, or a small little, more than a village. It was a town, but it wasn't exactly up to date and popping, right?
Sure. I mean,
there was a lot of farming community, and you know, still small. So we lived up there for 4 years, and then we moved to the London, Greater London area for 4 years. And again, wow. There's lots of internationals that live around the London, Greater London area.
Right.
But I would say that our British friends would still adhere to the policy that color was more sedate.
The policy. That's, I like that.
And then yet when they traveled, and they travel a huge amount. Brits love to travel and go abroad. But their clothing reflected abroad, and they wore it abroad. They didn't bring back, like, I have a lot of friends who came to Florida. They have a separate set of clothes for Florida. They would never think about wearing those in the UK.
Right.
They're just too vibrant, you don't fit in.
Right. Which, yeah. Something can be said for that, and I think debated in either direction, where do you want to stand out when you're traveling? Maybe not, but, or
right,
do you want
right.
to?
I think everybody understands the subtlety of what you're wearing. Do you want to blend in? Do you want to feel, are you comfortable within yourself and you could care less around who's around you? Or do you want to make a statement with what you're wearing, either in style or color or any accessories? There's lots of ways to,
right.
That would be an interesting story. How do we accessorize for the public? You know, like, what statement are you making with what you're wearing?
Right.
And maybe some of that is my own story of, I have to be comfortable first, that it feels comfortable on myself. And if I can handle a lot of color that day, this has happened as well. I would walk in, and again, I'm in Wisconsin for this story, go into a meeting or to whatever event, whatever I'm going to. And if I walk in with the same amount of color that I just left my house, and it felt right at home because I feel like I've got my energy up, you walk in somewhere and you're like, ooh, too much. Can I take something off?
Let me go back to the car. I forgot something.
Like, I need a cloak. And I don't know if that's ever happened to you, but, you know, there are times when I feel like it's not that I'm inappropriately dressed. I'm out of context with color.
I agree with that. I think that's happened to me maybe for work, where everyone else is wearing navy or black.
Sure.
But no one says it's inappropriate, like you said. But it's, what's the energy? And for me, I want to bring the brightness, the lightness, the fun to something that's serious. So why not wear a color that reflects that?
Right. Because that, it's just an extension of your personality. And you're not intentionally trying to tame yourself. So why not be true to yourself?
Right.
And yet, there are times I literally get in a crowd and I'm like, man, I just should take it down a notch. You know, I've got a little bit much today.
or the opposite. I think we also need to help help people become more color conscious and let them see that it's okay to express through that.
I would definitely agree with that. I think, and I'm extremely blessed to have wonderful daughter-in-laws, one of which is an anomaly to me because she does not like color. She wears black and neutral and off-white. And even in their home, that's, you know, there's sort of an avoidance of color. And yet she is beautiful and vivacious and smart and all those wonderful things. But she really is not comfortable with color. Mm. And I'm like, so what do I give you for your birthday?
Right.
Because I see your, I mean, she's Asian, so she has beautiful skin and beautiful hair. And I'm like, you could wear these phenomenal colors.
Like neon orange would look good. I can picture that already.
And I keep trying to, I tried to put the whole world in turquoise because turquoise is just a beautiful color.
It is. It is.
Yeah.
Well, this has been a wonderful conversation. Thank you for sharing.
Well, I'm delighted to talk to anybody about color, but especially you. So thanks for giving me a little chance to chat, even if I don't know who I'm chatting to. I hope maybe.
Thanks for joining me on this colorful journey today. Your support and engagement mean the world to me, and I'm grateful for your listening ears. Please take a moment to subscribe, rate, and review Color Story on your favorite platform. And if you know someone who loves exploring the spectrum of colors, don't forget to share this with them too. I'm always eager to hear your thoughts and ideas on what to discuss next. Let's keep the conversation going over on Instagram at Classic Claire Colors and on Twitter at ClaireNFT. To wrap up today's episode, I want to remind you to not be afraid of color. Embrace it and harness it. Until next time, ask yourself how you can make your day more colorful and bring a little extra color into someone else's life too.